Okay, we'll call this meeting to order for the Carson City Advisory Board to the Nevada Wildlife Division. Pardon me?
Chair Green.
Chair Green. Call to order, determination of a quorum. Will you please call the order?
Chairperson Green.
Here.
Vice Chair Beamer.
Here.
Member Evans.
Here.
Member Stewart.
Here.
Member Thompson.
Present.
A quorum's present.
Thank you. Shall we stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to make a quick comment on that. I probably should ask each of you to lead it and move it back and forth to pass that around. I'll probably start that the next time, but I personally find it an honor to lead the Pledge of Allegiance. So that's why I've been a little negligent on that. Okay. Up to item three, public comment. The public is invited at this time to comment and discuss any topic that is relevant to or within the authority of the Carson City Advisory Board to manage wildlife. No action may be taken upon it at a matter raised under this item of the agenda. Do we have any public comment at this time? Yes, sir, Mr. Bailey.
Thank you, Chairman Green, Vice Chair Beamer, and honorable advisory board members. Okay, just wanted to bring some past information, not upfront information. I wanted to let you know that the Carson Fly Fishing Club on July 12th and 13th, Stan Zuber's intro to fly fishing occurred here. There were some 22 people that took the course. It was co-ed. So, and that was, it was absolutely stellar. It was a two-day event. It was classroom study on the first day, and then the second day went out to, there was more classroom, and then went out to Bailey's to do the casting aspect and try to get folks into that. There was, as you know, Mason Ortiz, the Mason Ortiz experience that occurred. It was extremely successful this year. Bunch of great kids. I wasn't there present this time, but I got it on just about from Endow personnel, from people that were volunteers that just had just a blast and said the kids did really great. After that, that was like, I think that was like the week, like July 20th, something like that. And then on July 22nd, the Monday following Mason Ortiz, it's been a busy July. Right here at the Carson City, I wouldn't call it a gymnasium. I guess it is the gym. It's like right behind us. It's in the same building. Carson City hosted a summer camp. And they, with that summer camp, they had a kids fishing symposium. So they wanted the kids not just to have like a day camp, but they wanted them to learn some fishing. So we taught them, we meaning Eric Klug put this thing together, I believe, who's the events manager for Carson City. And man, he put this thing together. It was 140 kids learned how to cast conventional tackle, and they learned how to tie a fly. And I mean, it was crazy. It was like an 8-hour event. The guy on Endow's side who put it together for the actual technical stuff was, of course, Jan Nemec, who is the lead for Western Region as far as angler education. So the kids learned to cast, a lure, and to tie a fly. I just wanted to inform you of that, and I thank you very much. Any questions?
That's great. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, that's cool.
Isn't that cool? I'd like to kind of bring up, even if it's on the back side of it, I'd like to bring up to this honorable body what in the world's going on, because I want you to know that that what happens here does not fall on deaf ears, especially Carson City. Okay?
Mr. Bailey. Thank you very much. We do appreciate that. And it's a pleasure, too, to drive by Bailey's Pond out there and see so much activity always. It really is. It's a very busy place. I think you guys deserve a better road through the fairground there.
It adds to the kind of the urbanness on the outside of the town kind of experience. Thank you for that.
Thank you very much. And with that, we'll move to a possible action item here. Action number four, approval of the minutes from the June 19th meeting. Did everybody have the opportunity to read the minutes?
Yes, I did.
Do we have any?
I just have one correction, if we can, tomorrow. Okay. Item 7A on the minutes, we had asked for that item to be brought forth on the future agenda to see if we could have Mr. Gil Yannick come and report on that item. And it wasn't listed as a future agenda item. So if we can just make sure that we list that as a future agenda item, just so we can get a report from him on that, that would be great.
Yeah, and I want to apologize to the board, too, on that. I've been traveling a lot and forgot. Wish I had a better excuse, but that's it. So I apologize for that. And hopefully I won't do that again. Okay, do we have a
move to approve?
Move to approve the minutes?
With the correction?
With the correction.
Yep.
I'll move to approve the minutes with the correction.
I'll second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Minutes approved. Thank you, sir. Item number five, our for information only, update on an activity report on the Carson City Urban Wildlife Committee. Mr. Beamer?
So, if I may, Mr. Chair, just a quick report on the Wildlife Committee. Deer, of course, are probably the biggest thing we have seen is deer being hit on our roadways here in Carson City, our city streets, and I recall the last report I got, just in the summer alone, we had upwards of 6-7 deer that have been hit out of our local, you know, urban herd here, and there's been multiple bear sightings in town here, so I know Department of Wildlife has been putting out some press releases to make people aware of that. Just in the event that anybody's listening that has any interest in this, it now is mandatory in Carson City to have trash collection. You don't have a choice. The Board of Supervisors entered into a contract with Waste Management to provide that. Got a great deal in pricing wise, but it is mandatory that all individuals participate in trash collection, and there is an exemption process that you can go through, but if the one thing I wanted to point out with that is that Waste Management provides waste containers that are bear proof. So, and if you don't think that you're prone to to having bear activity in your neighborhood, you might want to guess again. We had bears in our neighborhood. We had them right down off of Fish Street and on Lompas Place here a couple weeks back. So they are all over the place. And we saw trash scattered down the street in our neighborhood. And so if that's an issue for people, they really should look into getting a bear-proof container, which, you know, Waste Management provides. They're very affordable. I was very surprised at that, and they really have pulled out the stops when it comes to that. So as far as we're very fortunate, knock on wood, that we have not had very much fire danger this year. Although the threat is there, we had a fire yesterday over off at Silver Saddle Ranch that I think ended up being about 3 acres or more. Tomorrow, if you heard about that or not. We were out of power for a while. So, yeah. so it was pretty good, but they got it handled. And then I did get a number of folks that called me or emailed me using the Urban Wildlife Committee, because I guess my email address is on there, is listed as a contact, but that we're concerned about the Carson Rifle and Pistol Club and when we're going to open more time up. And I just directed them to Carson Parks and Recreation and told them that we don't have any authority over that, that is something that, you know, we don't really get involved in, but as individuals we do. So other than that, it's been, you know, pretty slow. We have had a few incidents that I've heard of coyote incidents here in town, but that's just kind of normal, nothing out of the ordinary. So that's my report.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay, move on.
Rob, did you hear about a lion taking down a deer in Timberline?
I did not.
There was a neighbor in where Scuttlebutt was going around that Endow came out in regards to. I was just curious if you had heard about that.
I had not heard anything about that.
Yeah. You took away some of my glory. I had it on my little note here. I live on Arrowhead, and there have been some reports up there, up above on the higher areas. We've got a couple of them that have lived up there on that hill for years, and their offspring and stuff, but they've been coming down because the deer population is pretty thick. And so it's wonderful, but we do need to teach our children to pay attention to what they're doing and look around. Those bear containers, another thing you might do, I don't know where everybody lives or if you have friends that don't want to use them because they are heavy and awkward, especially for older people. Volunteer to help them move them out on trash day or something, because it's worth the effort for us to be good neighbors to keep our neighbors safe too. So that's just something I'd like to throw in. Because I know Vern, my son lives on Richmond, and they don't have any problems at all with bears over there. They're daily, seems like. Okay, thank you. Any more comments on this? Because I do appreciate it. Rob does that's one of the most informational things we have between him and CK out here. We keep us alive here.
Well, thank you. You're kind. I appreciate your kindness.
Okay. Consent agenda items. Now, I'm not sure. I want to back up here. I'm not for sure about the procedural stuff on some of these things. This item tomorrow, should I have brought this up under the public comment period on this letter I got from Elko?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, you can go back to public comments if you'd like.
Okay. I'm going to go back because I'm not sure where it actually belonged, but I got this letter that I gave to all of you guys from Elko. They're basically looking for us to help when they get up and ask for a little more, to be heard a little more on these recommendations on this weekend's meeting. They'd like some extra support. And so I don't know how you guys feel about it or anything. It's not an agenda item. We can't technically support it as an agenda item. I know I'm in complete support of it because I know people in the area, and they've told me about some of the problems they're having with the. This is all under shed hunting. Did you see the? Yeah. And some of the problems they're having over there, we don't know anything about. We don't have out-of-state shed hunters with big trucks coming in and gathering antlers like they do over there. And so it's kind of, they're just wanting us to be aware and maybe help support them a little bit in their endeavors. Any comment on these or anything? And would this have been the right place, Rob? You're the more.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you. Any comment?
I do, if anybody else, does anybody else? So I guess in reading this, I looked it over earlier as well, because it's on the support material for the commission too. So, but I guess in reading this, I'm a little confused. They should have, really the proper way to do this would have been to take the regulation and redline the regulation and mark it up like you would normally. And that's what Endow's going to probably have to do. I didn't see where they did that, but they're going to have to, if they decide to go forward with this, they're going to have to do that. And then they're going to hold, of course, a workshop and make sure that there's a small business impact statement that is created, and ask for public comment at the workshop. And sometimes those workshops get extended multiple times, you know. So I guess my question is, before I would offer support to this, I want to better understand it, and maybe you can help me, Mr. Chair. Right now, my understanding is that the season there's a season closure, if you will, between January 1 and April 30th, correct? Currently, that's how the regulation reads?
Currently, that's how it is.
And if, for those of you that aren't familiar with it, are you familiar with that? If you're not familiar with it, then it's only specific counties, right? So it's not like here in Carson City, we can collect antlers all the time, you know. There's only specific counties and specific areas that this is applicable to. My understanding and what their suggested amendment is that they change that from February 1 to March 31st. Is that my understanding?
You know as much about it as I do, because I haven't talked to them in person, and that's what it says right here. They want to go from February 1 through March 31.
That's how I read it.
Yeah, and so that doesn't broaden the closure. That narrows it, right? So I guess I'm trying to understand what was the intent of that. Are they feeling like that's not enough time to collect sheds? Or I mean, at first I read this and I thought, they want to make this even a little bit more, and it says here, for the reason, after much discussion by outdoor enthusiasts, as the CAB, Elko CAB, has requested to place shed hunting regulation on their agenda, public comment was received from individuals, 44 people, a subcommittee met with 44 interested parties, and a set of recommendations were agreed upon and forwarded to the Elko CAB. My understanding in reading this the first time was to make this a little more strict, but now that I've read it again, I am not getting that. I'm getting that it's saying, hey, it's too strict. We need to loosen up the cords here a little bit, if you will. Is that my understanding?
So what I understand, it would be shortened. I know people have complained that by the time they go to collect sheds, a lot of people are collecting sheds to sell them, to make chandeliers and all, and they feel that by the end of April 30th, a lot of them are bleached. So I think in order to, you know, keep their businesses going, chandeliers, drawer pulleys or whatever, I believe that they're trying to start shed hunting earlier as long as weather permits. I think it says based on weather or herd condition. So Endow has the opportunity, if they feel like, you know, everything has dropped by then, that the deadline could be the March 31st. But if animals are still holding on and they think the animals will get harassed, then they'll still push it farther to April 30th.
That's the recommendation.
Exactly.
Right?
And that's how I read it. And I think people
would set the season based on just like we set other seasons, right, that they would have an analysis done, you know, and set the season based on what the biologists are recommending, right?
Yeah, I had some conversations down in Hawthorne with a couple of people about this. Nobody that I know of specifically from the Elko CAB, but they're having some problems there. Two of the problems are the numbers of commercial hunters.
Yeah.
And the fact that the people taking advantage and going outside of the time frames, they're communicating back and forth because they find out where the ranger is today, and they go where he isn't because they know he can't get to him anyway. And that was some of the problems they want to be able and then I talk to them about that, and then I get this. And I think it might all be linked together in different ways.
So I'm a little confused, because if that's the case, I would think that they would want it a more strict regulation, right? And it seems taking away from, I mean, they're loosening the purse strings, if you will, with what they're proposing here, the recommendations that they're proposing here. So this is my thoughts, fellas. I'm going to offer this to everybody and let you guys chew on this. Anytime the public, especially out-of-state public, right? I struggle with the fact that we have commercial entities that are coming in and taking resources and using resources from the state of Nevada without really any kind of compensation, right? Mm-hmm. I struggle with that. My feeling is if Endel wants to get in that business, right, up to this point, you could go anywhere and get sheds, and I actually did it as a Boy Scout activity. I had the Boy Scout of my troop go out one year, and we went to Great Basin National Park, and on the way back, we stopped at some grounds that I know there's a lot of sheds, and they collected a whole entire trailer full of sheds, probably over 100 different shed antlers, right? And we took those back into Ely, and we had and I told these guys, you're welcome to do what you want to with them, you know? Mm-hmm. And they got bombarded with people wanting to buy those in Ely when we stopped.
Yeah.
And I told them, I said, if you guys want to sell them, you're more than welcome to do that. There's nothing that prevents you from doing that. And so these kids made a bunch of money, paid for the whole trip. They paid for another scouting activity going, a couple other scouting activities for that year that were big activities, just by selling those shed antlers to interested parties that took up shop in Ely, that camps there and stuff, mm-hmm. that were there to buy them as a commercial entity. And
one of the issues that they're facing is the increased number of out-of-state people. Not just people making lamps and stuff. The Asian community is grinding them up for medicines.
Yeah, I get it.
And it's that has grown in popularity, and so they have, it's just the increased numbers.
So if I may, my feeling is that Endel, in my opinion, I feel like owes it to the citizens of this state to. If they're going to place regulations on shed hunting, then by golly, my opinion is that we should be selling a license or a stamp or something that we can get compensated for some of these resources. I also further feel that if it should be treated just like a deer or an elk tag or an antelope tag, we should give only so many permits out to out-of-state hunters, shed hunters, and you have to draw for it. It is what it is. And, I'm not saying that for in-state folks, or if they want to just go across the board and say, listen, you want to hunt shed antlers in these counties, you gotta draw for it, right? And you're given a permit to do it, just like you would a lion tag or something like that, right? And you're limited to how many you can get. You know what I mean? So many elk antlers, so many deer antlers.
Or by poundage.
Yeah, or poundage, maybe, poundage. You know? I don't know. I just think that
and it's
a resource like anything else, man, right? It's like the whole thing with the reptiles that we faced here this last year, you know? I was appalled by that. I was appalled the fact that we have these entities outside of our state, or even inside our state, that are capitalizing on such a beautiful resource that we have, right? I struggle with that, man. I struggle with supporting anything that, you know, where we're not the citizens of this, you're taking resources away from the citizens of this state, dang it.
Yeah, you guys weren't on the board when we had the reptile thing. Do you realize we had 8 people in this state that were exporting without license, I mean, no taxes or anything, over 40,000 reptiles.
Hundreds of thousands of reptiles.
A year. And they were sending like rattlesnakes to Japan with no markings on the boxes or anything, you know, because it was not regulated. It was scary.
I think another issue with the Ely or the Yelko recommendation, too, is that they say they pulled 44 people, but they don't give a breakdown. Were they residents? Were they commercial entities? Were they out-of-state personnel? You know, and that goes back to your statement, is that there should be, rather than if they're looking to reduce the impact, is rather than shorten the prohibiting it, they should look forward more towards the licensing. And of course, if you license, you got to enforce it.
Yeah, and I wonder, too, after, like, what you guys are saying, too, after reading this, actually, much closer than I did before, it's like these 44, the guys that I talked to before might not have even been any of these 44, and because their opinion seemed to be quite a bit different.
Yeah.
They were looking at the landscape damage, too, with the way if you've seen the commercial shed hunters, they go out, they line their 4x4s up and go through a field. You know?
And I would totally agree with Vice Chair Rob that we have to do something. And I would totally agree with forcing people into basically forcing them into a draw system, mm-hmm. to get these. I mean, why should we give them away for free?
Yeah. Mr. Bailey, if you got, please.
This is a very interesting thing. Thank you, Chairman. By the way, I'm going to amend my first speak at the first time. I didn't say that I was C.K. Bailey, Carson City. So I figured you're way smarter than that, but I wasn't. This is a very interesting item. I think that it's actually going to wind up being a conglomeration of recommendations 1, 2, 3. I don't think it's ready yet to be just flat given, because now I'm not an expert at this, although I've seen a lot of shed. I had no idea what was going on there, but I'm looking at also February through March. If you take a bunch of vehicles and you go ripping through our ranges looking for sheds, that area is going to be pummeled. It's going to be destroyed. I think that needs to be looked at too, like, because they're not only taking a resource, but they're also destroying another. I mean, if they're coming in with big vehicles to haul this stuff out, you know, it's getting pummeled.
Could do almost as much damage as hoofs, horses.
Oh, worse. A lot worse.
Worse.
Okay. But I'm just saying that there's a hybrid between all these recommendations and maybe more, because what it's sounding like. Now, this is going to cost money. If you get regs and you it needs a brochure. This is what you can do. It's just like hunting something else, okay? There has to be education involved. This is what you can do, because you're going to open yourself up for liability. Somebody's going to sue.
Okay.
Well, okay? So I'm just, there it is.
At this point, basically what I can do, this isn't an agenda item, so I can't go in there and support or not support everything they want. But I can get up as an individual from Carson City and give our opinions, pass out tags in state and out of state. What would be another, let's maybe come up with 3 or 4 different things I can recommend from us.
Well, I guess
as an individual, not as our.
Do you have some comments? Go ahead.
The only thing I was going to say, I don't quite understand why they would shorten it on the front side, turning it from January 1st to February 1st. I feel like that can cause more harm. It's allowing that part where the animals are really wintering through the hardest part. You know, people would still then have access to, pester them while they're wintering during that I don't know, more crucial month. So I would, my personal opinion, still recommend to keep it January 1st. And then if they want it, I mean, however they go through March 31st or based on weather. But I wouldn't, I definitely wouldn't see it shortening on the front side. But that's my opinion.
Well, I guess what I would suggest is, and of course I'm not speaking for the whole cab here, but
yeah.
But my thoughts are that, you know, I still don't see anything wrong. I agree 100% with you. I think that January 1st is a crucial time these animals have been pressured pretty much for the last 4 months, right? And to have more people out in the field during that month is a bad thing. And I think biologists would agree with that, right? And my thought is this, is that, you know, really, I mean, the mere fact that we put a regulation that, you know, prohibits people from shed hunting in these counties during that time, I think there needs to be something built upon that. I think that my suggestion would be to sort of end out to hold a workshop and, you know, gather public comment and come up with a regulation that allows for a shed season, which I think they got the starts of that, right? But but there needs to be some sort of compensation to the state, in my opinion, for this resource. This is no different than collecting reptiles or harvesting big game animals or birds or whatever. It's a resource, right? And the mere fact that somebody's making money off of a resource here in the state of Nevada without there being any compensation back to the state of Nevada, I struggle with that. And I think the majority of the public would as well, right? So that's the first thing. Second thing is I would be supportive of producing a shed hunting tag or a shed hunting stamp or a license or a combination of all three of those, right? I would also be supportive of limiting the amount of non-resident permits that we give out.
Yeah.
You know, we do it with everything else. Why do we do that, right? You know, you want to shed hunt, move to Nevada for crying out loud. You know what I mean? And start contributing to our economy and stuff, right? I just, those are the three things that I think that
have not
been answered here, you know? I think everybody's kind of overlooking them. And okay. To me, this recommendation that they're making, these three recommendations, although there's good components of it, I'm questioning the motive. I'm questioning whether or not the people that are asking for this are sportsmen, or whether they're commercial entities or a combination of both. I don't know, but you know, I've always made a habit of going shed. I mean, that's almost like a treasure hunt, you know, for me.
Oh yeah,
and it's fun. It's a great time, but I don't, you know, sell them commercially or anything like that. You know, I mean, I have made all kinds of things, staffs and pipes and all kinds of stuff with deer antlers, and you know, it's kind of fun to be able to do that for crafts and stuff like that. You know what I mean? And I've replicated antlers that have been real. Like if I get a set, like, you know, Mike was a proud recipient of our big non-typical here in town, and he took the antlers and he did what I would have done. He went ahead and had them mounted on, and he has that mount, man. And that, what a great find that is, you know? What a great thing it is. And he wasn't one of these guys that were going around, you know, watching this deer every single day. He knew exactly where the deer kind of was at, and he just so happened to be driving through there to go to work every day. And he actually saw, I remember you told me the story, he actually saw it dropped the first one.
Yeah.
You picked it up. And then the second day you saw him, right?
Yeah.
And he didn't have it, and you're like, son of a gun, he must have lost that thing. And you just so happened to be walking in the snow, and you kicked that thing, right?
Yeah, I was on the sidewalk.
And, I mean, how awesome is that, man? And
you know, now this is, you're talking about a grown man. The look on a 4 or 5 year old kid when just like catching their first fish, if they find an antler,
that's the coolest
thing ever.
That's
better than Santa Claus, you know.
So.
And it's
my feeling is, you know, when we allow these commercial entities to come in and do this, and they've been doing it for years, it hasn't been as to the extent that we've seen in probably the last 10 years. It's a commercial thing. Like, they turn it into a season in Ely and Moapa and these little communities. They you know, these little communities, they support these shed hunters that come out. And I think that's great. You know what I mean? But man, there's got to be some sort of management on it, just like everything else that we have, right? I just can't support something that doesn't have that. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, I will get up as a citizen and give our thoughts as though they were coming from me, which is the best I can do under these circumstances. And we'll talk about tags in-state, out-of-state with limits, compensation for the state, not shortening the season because of the winter, which I don't know why they wanted to push it to February 1 anyway. He doesn't explain
that. I know the motive behind that.
And workshops to get more and more public comments, more people than 44. We need.
I think the CABs should solicit comment from the public in their mm-hmm. communities. And, you know, and I think with regard to you know, revenue, how this generates revenue, I think that is an important factor, man,
mm-hmm.
that the department needs to consider, man. So, and I think that it would be totally, you know, I don't know what everyone's thoughts are, but it would be totally appropriate. I would feel very comfortable if the board was in agreeance with these recommendations. Then I don't see why it wouldn't be, you know, okay to say that, you know, we kind of had a public comment period on this, and all of us offered our own comments on it, and it was overwhelmingly that the Carson City CAB felt these things, that we're falling short here, these things, and that we should consider these things going forward. Okay. So,
are we? Okay.
Well, there's no deliberation. It's just, we're not deliberating on anything because it's not agendized, but it just, so anyway.
It's frustrating.
Yeah. It is. But also, I think, as far as deliberation, you have to have a dissenting group, and we don't have anybody dissenting.
No.
I don't know if that's true or not.
No.
Okay.
You handle that how you feel.
If there are additional actions that anybody on the board would like you to take, maybe they can get with you offline.
Okay. We can sure take care of that. Okay, now we're up to the consent agenda items. These items listed under consent agenda are considered for routine and are considered routine and may be acted upon by the advisory board to manage wildlife with one action and without extensive hearing. A member of the advisory board may request an item be pulled for separate discussion and action, but the advisory board chair retains discretion in deciding whether or not to pull an item from the consent agenda. For additional information on the items to be considered within this action, please visit the Department of Wildlife website. And that's where the supporting material is. And we have items 6A through 6B, with 6B having four separate areas. Is there anybody, anything that people would like to have pulled?
I'd like to pull 6B.
6B will be pulled. Anything else? Anybody else? The tag transfer thing has been I'll just mention it. We don't have to discuss it if you don't want to, but it's so many different problems have come up over the years, and it's been discussed at many of the meetings because there's issues with, like if a guy dies and is you know, the transfer, can it go to his kids, can it go to his wife, or if there's a divorce, who gets it? And boy, oh boy, have they got their hands in a pot of spaghetti over that. The same with land transfer. If you have some land tags, property tags, and you sell your property, do you get to keep them, or does the new guy? That kind of thing. That all falls under that, and it's, boy, it's a wonder they aren't all bald when they start talking about that, just pulling their hair out. Nobody is going to be happy. Okay. 6B, Mr. Beamer. This is to the Managed Wildlife Workshop sessions. We have four. We have the mule deer models on and population estimates, develop the quotas and surveys for population data, and the draw process. Would you like to carry on with that for me?
Yeah. So, if I may, Mr. Chair, so these workshops really are, this is really kind of where I just wanted to, the reason I wanted to pull this is just so we could have some discussion on it to help all of us as CAB members understand what the intent is here from the commission. With regard to these workshops, you know, they really want the county advisory boards. This is kind of a session that's put together just for the county advisory boards to help you understand what the commission is wanting you to come back, you know, collect from your counties and the recommendations and how to make them on a lot of these items, right, throughout the year. So once a year, we have this county advisory board managed wildlife workshop to help you as CAB members understand, you know, why we do what we're doing here, right? Why we have this process in place. And so I guess my that one of the biggest complaints that Tony has, and I don't want to speak for him, but he has shared this with me, is that they don't get a lot of cooperation and a lot of participation from the CABs when they do these workshops, right? This is kind of a training ground for all of us. That's the purpose of this, right? And so, and of course to educate us and that sort of thing too, but, so, you know, I know all of us can't go to the meeting, but, you know, whoever does go, I would ask that, we maybe at the next meeting as a future agenda item, that we have a report on that, and that you, whoever does attend the meeting, that you come back and share your notes with us, any thoughts on how we should be conducting business and how we should be looking at these things going forward in the future. We've really never done that, and I just feel like we're missing the boat a little bit here. I believe that they will have a call-in or that this will be streamed on YouTube, and so I'm going to find that out for sure, but if that is, and if you guys can tune into that just so you can be part of that and view it even, would be a good thing. I'm going to strive to try and do that as well. I was actually planning on going to this meeting as well, if it was the pleasure of the board, but we just had somebody in our church pass away tragically, and now I'm going to have to divert that to going to their funeral and stuff. And so, unfortunately, I won't be able to probably go there, but I am going to try and tune in to it if it's possible. So, you know, especially now that we've changed the draw process and how that works, you know, I get a lot of people that will call me and ask me all the time, well, you're on the CAB, how did, you know, help me understand this draw thing, you know? And a lot of people, I get a lot of sportsmen, they'll say, you know, I'm sick and tired of this draw, it's just not fair. And I'm always one to defend it and say, yeah, it's about as fair as you can get, man. Mm-hmm. It's as random as it gets, man, you know? Yeah. And it's a true lottery system, I believe, and And I try and defend that for the department as much as we possibly can, you know. No, not everybody's happy when it comes to results, but, you know, I try to defend that. So that's the sole reason why I wanted to pull it, Mr. Chair, was I do want to say that I'm in support of this without a doubt. I think that we should support our director of the Department of Wildlife, who really kind of goes out of his way to make this happen for us. And Tony, you know, I think that we need to support him in trying to make this the best process we possibly can. That's why we're appointed to these positions. So with that, I would move to support both items on the consent agenda, unless there's any further discussion.
I'd like to say something also, because I agree 100% with you. I will definitely report on this, and we will. I'll work with Tamar to get this on the agenda as a report item.
I just think we should put it as a future agenda item on our.
And we can do that at all meetings. I think that's a good idea. I think it's an excellent idea. I don't know why.
And another
it's amazing nobody thought of it before.
Another question on that. I think he is right. A lot of times they do live stream on YouTube or something. And I believe that stays there after the live stream. You can always look it up. But
yeah.
Just to double check on that and make sure we could.
Just like ours here, it can go on. And the only problem I've seen with that is I know occasionally the streams, like, you know, maybe Reno and Elko get the stream, Vegas is offline or something, and they do have some complaints sometimes about that, because the comment has been made more than once about, you know, we can put a man on the moon, but we can't seem to run a TV set in Ely. So those things do happen, but they make every effort they can for every meeting to be available to everybody in the state if possible, live. And there are designated areas where you can go and set in the meeting and make comment. In Reno, you can go up to the Endow office during the meetings. They have a room there that's set aside, and you can make your comments. That's not a, it's every meeting is that way. The public isn't, there's no effort at all to keep anybody from making their comments. And I'm just surprised that hasn't been part of the agenda so long. I didn't think of it. Rob, good job. Do we have a motion now? Do we have a second on this motion?
I second.
All in favor, say aye.
Well, let's just restate if we can. Tamar, you got it, all that?
I have it on the recording.
Okay, so okay. Just to clarify, I'm prepared to move, if you want, to support the consent agenda items 6A and 6B with the intent that with 6B, whoever attends a meeting, be prepared, please, to, number one, let's have it as an agenda item so we can discuss it and hold public comment, right? And be prepared to report on what these workshops, what they prevailed, if you will, and so that we can all get the education, you know, and I would encourage everybody to either tune in or go to Reno and participate if you can do it. So that's the motion, I believe.
I second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 And it passes. Thank you. Now we're up to number 7, non-regulatory agenda items. Other than those items listed under the CAB consent agenda item number 6 above, the remaining items on the attached August 9th and 10th Nevada Board of Wildlife Commissioners agenda typically require no action of the Carson City Advisory Board. Occasionally, one or more advisory board members may have a desire to discuss these items, and such discussion may result in action in the form of advice or a recommendation by the advisory board to the Nevada Board of Wildlife Commissioners. There will be no public comment unless the action will be taken on an item. We have item 7A through D on this. Are we going to have, would, has everybody had a chance to look at these?
I did, and I will say that I, now in looking at this a little bit clearer, I see the correlation now. That letter that you received is actually agendized in item 7B. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the supporting materials that Endow has online, it's that exact same letter. So now I'm seeing it. I'm a little slow, obviously. So
I hadn't even crossed.
So that would be the time where you would, mm-hmm. you know, you would give a, and this would be the time for really us to be discussing this, if we wanted to discuss it. But I think
we already.
I think most of the discussion is had. I think you know my take on it, and I don't know whether the board want to take a formal position on this. But I'm open to it, so I would leave that up to you, Mr. Chair.
I think what we came up with, I believe, and I can double check with them when I get there. I can present as a recommendation by the board, not just myself.
Yeah, well, I want to make sure that the board is 100% in agreement with these things before we you know make the recommendation as a public body, if you will. You
okay.
Know?
I have down here tags in state and out of state with limits. Don't shorten on the front side of the season. And I can expand on those when I'm there. Workshops for public comments so we can get that and compensation to the state because it costs the state.
Yeah.
Not just a little bit, but a lot. Were there anything else that we would like to put on that list?
You're from these guys first.
Yeah, we got to.
If I can say, maybe, I don't know, the whole February through March part, not necessarily just saying on the first side. I'd like to know more on why it's being shortened so much on the back side, if it is for that reason. And then, you know, to me, that's when everything else would get tied in as far as the tags and seasons. Based after the fact, if that makes sense.
So I want to make sure I understand you clearly, Mike. So with regard to what they're proposing here, what the Elko Cab is proposing here, it looks like they're shortening the front end and they're shortening the back end.
Correct.
Right? Yeah, I could support us saying, you know, we'd like to know more about what the intent of that is and what the motive behind that is, instead of saying, you know, hey, we're not in agreement with it, right?
Correct.
That's how I.
And the same would require to, I mean, who were the 44 people that they discussed it with? You know, what percentage were commercial entities? What percentage were out of state? You know, and did we really get a true sampling of the residents?
Were they residents of the county?
Of the cab,
yeah.
And we can tie that in with the workshops, too. A lot of that would come out if they had the public workshops.
Yeah. So I guess from a public body, you know, what our position on it, I guess, I would support what Mike says that, hey, maybe not coming up with a
set
line that this is what we want to see, right?
Right.
We don't want to see a change or think, you know, maybe saying, hey, we want, you know, we're neutral on this. We want to hear more information about why you guys are proposing this and what's the motive behind it, right?
Absolutely. Because when you look at the whole idea of having an exclusionary period is to minimize the impact on the animals and the land.
Yeah.
And so some more background information to why they're actually shortening that exclusionary period, I think, mm-hmm. would be beneficial.
Okay. With regard to the second thing that you have there are the tags.
The tags.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's something to bring up and say, you know, I don't know how everybody else feels about that, whether you guys support that or not, but if it was unanimous across this board that you guys all supported some sort of tag process or stamp process or you know, some sort of permit process, then I don't see why we would not want to say, voice that and say, listen, we're supportive of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I agree 100%.
And I think there should be a separation of, a fee levied between individual and commercial entities in regards to it. And, you know, it's just like buying a mountain lion tag. I'm going to buy a tag because I'm going to go hunt a lion. I have one. Just in case I find a lion. And I think the same thing could go to in regards to sheds, and particularly in those counties. You know, I don't bang getting it because I'm going to go shed hunting, but if I'm out there and I come across a set.
Yeah, and that's where the poundage could come in really easily. That way your kids aren't hindered if they find a couple of antlers and stuff. Nobody gets in trouble.
I like that. Kirk, any thoughts?
No, I'm good with all the ideas that we've gotten so far.
My thought is I go back to how we manage taxidermists here in town or in our state, right? So there's two different types of permits for taxidermists. There's a commercial permit and there's a hobbyist permit. And I would almost even say, hey, have you thought of this? I wonder if the state can do something similar to that where, you know, you purchase what permit you want. And if it's a commercial permit, you're limited to so many pounds, you know, and if they want to, you know, and you know, I know Tyler's probably going to, you know, not that he really cares too much. I mean, he does. I should say that, you know, he's retiring. Tyler is. So, but he's kind of a short timer, but I can assure you that game wardens are going to be a little concerned when it comes to that. You know, if you go with a poundage rating, I would think that they would be like, okay, what are we going to do to those individuals, right, that go out and collect all these things and, you know, if they don't like one, they throw it back, you know, on the side of the road somewhere or something, or give it to another person or take it out of the habitat, if you will, right? And is there any impact to that? Is there, you know, those are all things I think that before they come up with this kind of a process, they should consider, you know? So I would.
Okay.
Anyway.
Mr. Bailey.
Thank you kindly, Chairman Green. I see a brochure. I see information. I see that there's going to have to be some significant education in this. This is going to be a hunt,
mm-hmm.
like you were saying,
I mean,
Chairman,
you don't treat it like that.
Vice Chair. It's a whole new facet of what's going on. It's not new as far as being brand new, but if you're thinking of putting like registration on it, licensure possibly, there's going to have to be education. And I think that has to be boiled down. That should be on that little book list that you're putting down there as Mr. Chairman.
I think we established that with the workshops.
It's kind of sad this wouldn't even be an issue if it wasn't for the commercialization of it.
Well, being that, as what you just said, it's going to cost money to do this.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to cost money. It all boils down to it. It's going to be time and money and possibly individuals that have to, you know, that might be another security man, you know, another officer. Who knows? And to what depth? I don't know. This is where this discussion is just beginning.
Yeah, I want to point out, I don't know if all of you guys know, I was talking about it earlier. The state of Nevada has the smallest division of wildlife in the entire United States.
Pretty close. There's a couple other entities that have fewer rangers, but
not, they have more personnel.
They have fewer personnel, if you will, but the area isn't as great, right? So like a smaller state geographically, and when you look at how much area a warden has to patrol, we are absolutely way in lead on that.
Yeah.
But when it comes to, you know, personnel, I think we have 36 game wardens, I think is what the total was I heard last. And that was full capacity. I mean,
well, the whole division's only like 218 people.
Yeah.
Rhode Island's is bigger. Yep. So that's so. Okay, so I will make that presentation, and I will do it with the support of our board. Is that correct?
Yeah, so I would move that that we support items 7A through 7D as written, with the caveat that you will express to the commission at the appropriate time what our thoughts were in our discussions.
Okay, before we move on to accepting that, do we have any discussion on the smart scopes? Any opinions on those?
No, I'd like to discuss that, Mr. Chair. It seems to be a kind of gray area from what I was able to look online, trying to research that a little bit. It appears that they put into law or tried to, at the same time that they were doing the size of caliber, 3 inches or greater. And all I could find on that was that it really said the tracking point device, which I think is one that you kind of lock on target, basically. Mm-hmm. Other than that, doing a lot of research, I seem to be able to find that it said without a visible beam of light being shown. But it's really not that clear or in a certain section where it lays it all out that I was able to find. So maybe if you could take notes on that as well. And
I will
and
take
bring
notes
back
on it. It's been discussed a few times. One of the problems they're having is the technology is changing faster than they can have meetings. And, I mean, there's even some smart scopes out there that are, I mean, they're cost prohibitive for actual hunting, but they'll you can put your rifle on a tripod and it does the job.
Exactly, yeah.
That's so there, but the technology is changing so fast.
So my interest in this is, and the reason why I say support it is, they're just going to make, Tyler's going to give some recommendations mm-hmm. to consider, and they'll hold public comment on it. You know, I don't have a problem really with a rifle scope that has a range finding capability, which is what they're talking about here, right? The compensation for, there's some scopes that I did some research as well. There are some scopes where you can set up a wind meter that's run off of Bluetooth, and it automatically adjusts the scope for the windage sideways and up and down, right? A horizontal and vertical. And so I have a feeling that's where this may be going. There wasn't any supporting material for it, exactly. So I don't really know what to expect here.
I would just like more information on
that. I would,
too.
I would, too. So if we can...
I'll add that to my report.
Awesome.
Thank you. Okay. Mr. Beamer, would you like to make your recommendation again, and we'll...
So, men,
for a second.
So I will go ahead and just restate my motion that we support items 7A through 7D with the caveat that we'd like you to express our position as a board on 7B to the commission, as well as on 7C, if you can bring back for a future agenda item what that entailed and what the discussion was all about, so that we can maybe agendize that on our agenda to hold some discussion. Now, we will have time to do that, right? Because if this becomes a regulatory item, they have to hold a workshop and have to publicize that. And usually they do those during the Wildlife Commission does that during their agenda, usually. So I would just ask, that's my motion, that we support all four of these with the caveat that you give our position on 7B and come back with more information on 7C if possible.
Okay, we will do that. Do I have a second on that recommendation?
I second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
None opposed. Motion carries. Thank you. Now we're up to eight. Item number eight, for information only, advisory board member comments to the August 9th and 10th meeting of the Wildlife Commission in Ely and the September 21st and 22nd Wildlife Commission meetings in Las Vegas. I'm planning on going to Ely. I'll be there. I already have reservations, and I'm ready to go. Is anybody else going to be there, or if not?
It's a work weekend.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was actually planning on trying to go too, but we found out that the Board of Examiners meeting has been shifted to the 9th, so I have to attend that because I have a huge contract on and going in front of them, as well as I have a funeral on Saturday, so I won't be able to attend, but I am going to try and tune into the workshop if it's permitted. So,
okay. How about September 20th and 21st in Las Vegas?
So, do we
have anybody going?
I am.
Okay, sorry, I didn't hear that part.
I'm not getting volunteers?
For Vegas?
Yes.
I would have to go. I work Wednesday through Saturday, so I'd have to see if I could get time off to go.
Okay, well, we also have the option of either sending somebody, which Gil has done for us before, or going to Reno and attending that way.
I am available on the 20th. The bad thing for me is I'm starting I'm due to start my elk hunt on the 21st. So, in Ely.
And you don't want to be the last one there.
Yeah. So,
let's just kind of, I will speak with Gil and see if he can go. And if not, I can go to Reno.
I'd be open to have Gil represent us if that so be what everybody else wants, or to have you go to Reno or anybody else go to Reno on that day. But
okay, did you get that, Tamar?
Yep.
Okay. Yes.
Ms. Member, former Vice Chair Yannick will represent you. And you may go to Reno.
Yes. For information only, future agenda items, report on meetings is one of them.
An agenda item that's for a report on the previous
Endow meeting.
Commission meeting, right?
Yes. And then the other item would be the Gil's report on from the prior minutes that should have been brought forward this time.
So that was item 7A on the prior meeting.
7A.
Does anybody have the minutes for the last meeting? I left mine. You know,
I don't.
Tomorrow, yeah. I mean, can you just tell us what that agenda item is, just to remind everybody?
What is that? The finance meeting. 7A, I believe. Do you have a minute?
It's our meeting minutes, so the CAB's meeting minutes for 7A.
And I don't have it.
That was the June 19th meeting?
Yeah.
Yeah, so
it was included in your packets that you thought.
Yeah, no, I just, it was the discussion of possible action.
Discussion of possible action to make recommendations to the Nevada Board of Wildlife Commissioners regarding presentations of Nevada test and training range.
at
the Desert National Wildlife Refuge. It says all Board of Wildlife Commissioners on the June 21st, 22nd, 2019 meeting, Deputy Project Leader Kevin Des Roberts will present an update on the test site training area and withdrawal renewal pertaining to the Desert National Wildlife Refuge.
Yeah, so do you recall, I will just tell you that Gil and I talked about that. He came and I approved his expenses. Well, he gave me a brief report, and I thought, man, the rest of the guys on the cab needed to hear this.
Yeah.
Because it was a very interesting presentation, apparently, and I think it was outside of what everybody expected. They want to either eliminate or completely regulate. And there's a chance, you know, when you go on to the bombing range, you know, they want to be able to extend their bombing season, if you will, their training season that goes into and through the hunting season. And I gotta tell you, I got a concern about that, man. Especially if we have animals in that area that, you know, what's the mortality rate of that, right? I mean, some of the things he shared with me, I will just say that were concerning to me. I really think that this body would benefit from getting a report from him and getting his thoughts on what that entailed. So 7A, the agenda item for the report on the meetings, and then if you can, you just include what we asked you to report on there, that'd be great.
We will do that. Item number 10, public comment. The public is invited at this time to comment on and discuss any matter that is relevant or within the authority of the Carson City Advisory Board to manage wildlife, including any matter that is not specifically included in the agenda as an action item. No action may be taken on a matter raised under this item of the agenda. Mr. Bailey.
This is an easy one. Thank you, Chair. Chairman Green, I'm confused on the dates here. This next meeting, August 9 and 10, is where?
In Ely.
In Ely. Okay, I got that. Where's this one in Reno that you were talking about?
Oh, that would be 9 and 10. That is the same. That it's their, if you go to the Endow offices.
Yeah.
They have a conference room. Where they have the TV set up and.
Okay, so the actual meeting is in Ely, but they're casting too. They're broadcasting, so you could actually see it.
Well, not just see it, but you could be a part of it and make comment.
Now, that's at the new headquarters? Or is that the old one?
By the fairgrounds.
Oh, by the fairgrounds, okay. Yeah.
Not up the street there.
Road. 1100 Valley.
Valley, okay.
Yeah.
So it's the old place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Got it. Thank you.
You bet.
And then are we going to set the meeting for next month?
Yes.
It will be on
the 17th?
September 17th, right, tomorrow?
I think that's what I had in here.
Time?
We need to see what she has available there.
Oh, we have the room.
We do, okay.
Okay, and I wanted to find out, too, with all of you, I may have been confused. Is 4 o'clock good, or would 4:30 be better? Or
4:30 would be better? I've always recommended that it be even like 5:30, just for a simple fact to give the public more opportunity to come to a meeting. But that's just my opinion on that. People get off at 5. Just a suggestion.
Comments on that? Because we can adjust this to whatever the group would like.
If I can just state that when I first joined the cab, that it was actually changed from, I think we used to start at 6, right? If I remember right. And it got changed to 4 o'clock to be able to accommodate, board members and the fact is that we published this to the committee to the public. And the idea was, I think, for the public to be able to reach out to us ahead of time if they had issues or something like that, I'm not object to going to to 5, 5:30. I mean, it takes away from our families and stuff, you know, and I would support it if the rest of the board was good with it. But by starting at 4:30, I think that's kind of a happy medium. You know, it allows people to get here even if they get here a little bit late. You know, that's why we have two public comment periods, and they could do that then. But I would be good with whatever the board would feel comfortable with.
I'm okay with that. I usually do work Sunday or Tuesday nights, so I usually have to swap my schedule around, so I don't know if I'll be able to make everyone, but because when we first started, it was Monday nights, and that was completely fine for me, but I know others it's harder for, so I've been swapping my schedule. So, I mean, anything, as long as the boss is okay with it, works for me.
Duffy, why don't work works for you, Mike, and I don't want you to miss too many or have to rearrange your schedule too much.
Right. I'm open for either 4:30, 5:30. It's easy for me. I'm normally out of work by 3, so.
Yeah, I like 4:30 better myself, but that's.
Good to go.
Let's make it 4:30. Okay, is that all right with you, Tamar? You get home too late that way?
No,
Okay. Okay, our next meeting will be September 17th. Is that correct? At 4:30.
Perfect.
Okay. If there's no other comments or action, do we have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So moved.
Second?
I second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All in this meeting is closed. Thank you very much.